Let's all turn in the Old Testament to the Song of Solomon, chapter 4. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verses 12 to 15. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, campfire with spikenard, spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. We come this morning to this wonderful, beautiful, and unusual book of the Song of Solomon. I don't know whether, particularly younger ones, whether you know much about this book. It's actually quite a normal kind of literature for the time. These love songs delighting in the love of a man and a woman to be joined in holy matrimony, to be joined as man and wife, to become one flesh. It's like a courtship song. It's celebrating their love one for the other. And of course, there are those who will compare it with other literature of the time and say, compare them. I don't want to enter into that. If that's the sort of thing that interests you, well, so be it. But of course, the important thing is this: it is in the Word of God. And we have to say straight away, why is it here? Is it just a celebration of the love between a man and a woman? It is that. But no, it's much more than that. God has put it here, and Christ speaks to us through this wonderful, unusual, and beautiful book of the Song of Solomon. You remember, on the road to Emmaus, the Lord Jesus Christ said, did he not, that, well, what happened in fact was that beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto those two all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So he took the Old Testament and he showed them from the Old Testament how those scriptures speak of himself. That is, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. This book of the Song of Solomon speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is him who speaks in this passage we're looking at here this morning. He looks at his bride. He looks at the one who will be joined to him. Yes, in a sense, his church is joined to him now, but there is going to be a great day, the marriage feast, the marriage supper of the Lamb of God. And he is looking forward to that day. He looks at her, the church of Jesus Christ, his church that he bought with his own blood. He paid an incredible price, a price that we cannot imagine or fathom. He looks at her. That is you and me, believer in the Lord Jesus Christ here this morning. That is all the church of Christ throughout the world gathered. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, campfire with spikenard, spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. The Lord Jesus Christ takes delight in his people, and he compares them to this wonderful garden. Now, of course, one of the wonderful things about our country is you can go and tour, and you can find gardens like this, and yet I don't think they would compare. This is the garden of a king. It is a locked garden, a garden enclosed. is my sister, my spouse. There is a gate with a key, and only he can open that gate and enjoy that garden, and he likes to do so. It's a garden that's been formed with walls. It is secure. It has these wonderful plants in it, all these different pungent spices and plants, rare plants, valuable plants, and plants that are useful for medicine and that kind of thing. I don't know if you know that there is a group now, and there's a lot of talk and a lot of industry with aloe vera. Just talks about that here, aloes. And they are very good for healing, put onto the skin, for example, as a, like an ointment. We know, of course, of the gifts that were brought to the Lord Jesus Christ when he was first brought into the world. Those wise men, those Gentiles coming to worship the newborn king of Israel, and they brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. And two of those gifts are mentioned here. Valuable, precious, a delight. So we see this amazing, wonderful garden. And there it is. And there is one person who enjoys that garden, and that, of course, is the king himself. He delights to go there. He wants to go there. He enjoys going there. It is pleasant to him. And that, of course, is how the Lord Jesus Christ sees his church. We read in Ephesians that wonderful passage. It's, in a sense, it's a parallel passage to this whole book of the Song of Solomon. I suppose in some sense we should say you go to Ephesians 5, you read that passage, you come back to the Song of Solomon, and it helps you to understand this wonderful book. What does the Apostle Paul say? The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the saviour of the body. He says to husbands, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Gave himself for it. Why? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Of course, we look forward to that day when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and his church will be perfected. His church is always imperfect in this world. This is a great battle. That's why we must come in this way and meet together around his word with the people of God to hear the word of God. That he might increase, that I might decrease. That we may be filled with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Today, people want freedom. This is talked about a great deal. I'm sure you know this. And yet, people are in bondage. That's a sad truth. The more they seem to want freedom, the more that bondage seems to grip them. We could go into that, but that's not my purpose this morning. People are slaves today, slaves to passions and desires, to ideologies, they're lacking direction in life. They're lacking godliness, they're lacking in the fear of God. That's what is the great cause of this problem. There is a message of freedom, and yet there is a total lack of freedom in the real sense. But there is a bondage which leads to true freedom. The Apostle Paul says right at the beginning of Romans, I'm a servant of Christ. He means a bond slave. It's a very strong word in the Greek there. A bond slave to Christ. And I think in some senses you could say that Paul, in some ways, the most in bondage to Christ, and therefore he was the most free. And that's what we need to be, in bondage to Christ and to him alone. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ said to us that the truth will make us free. Now, people don't want to hear the truth today. You try and talk about the soul, talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, talk about God to people. They don't want to know because they want all these other things. They don't want this Godward direction. They want everything to be on their level. Man is the measure of all things today. We're thinking this year of the Reformation. We're thinking of Luther's great stand. I don't think he realised what he was doing. He was lighting the touch paper, and of course an explosion happened that he wasn't expecting. He just put a treatise to the church door, which was a normal thing, like a notice board. Got his hammer and his nails, and he nailed those 95 theses to the church door in Wittenberg, and the Reformation started proper, although of course it had happened and started before that with men like Wycliffe. We thank the Lord for those men who saw the scriptures. We thank the Lord that he worked by his spirit in their hearts and that they saw these things. And you remember, Luther was brought before the great council, a diet of worms. Sounds terrible, doesn't it? And it certainly was. My conscience is captive to the word of God. He couldn't do anything else. He looked at all those authorities with all their letters and their supposed authority, and he says, no, this is my authority, the word of truth, the word of God. A friend of mine, a ministerial friend, was once told by a fellow Christian, sadly, and also a fellow minister, I have to say, very sadly, your problem, John, is that you are in bondage to the scriptures. He said, thank you very much, because he knew that was really a commendation. And another friend of mine gave a very interesting talk. Do ask me afterwards if you'd like to know about it. It's a wonderful help to us in our seeing our freedom as we have it in Christ Jesus in the scriptures. And he said this, because I believe the whole word of God, because this is my authority and nothing else, I am free. What did he mean by that? Well, let me just give you an illustration. Somebody comes to him and says, God told me this. And then he gives his little, or she, gives that little exhortation, whatever it might be. God told me, you have to do this. God told me, you are to go and do this. And he said, no, I don't have to do that, because I'm captive to the word of God. So, we are those who believe in the scriptures. We believe what the scriptures say. They are full of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why we can look at this passage and we can see great comfort and help here, in that the place we need to be is in that garden. We need to be in the church of Jesus Christ. This scripture tells us these things. It helps us. It shows us the freedom we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have this locked garden, this enclosed, walled garden with all these rare and wonderful plants in it. There is only one owner of this garden, and of course it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants to come and dwell with his people. He wants us to meet together. That doesn't mean to say that we can't meet with the Lord Jesus Christ in our homes. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. But we meet in a special way, in a sense. We are representing the whole church by gathering in this way this morning. And we can see it in these terms of this beautiful, wonderful garden that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to join and enter into. Lord willing, we'll look this evening at perhaps the last verse. Awake, O north wind, and come, thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. So we have the garden this morning. We recognize it belongs to the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are his people. We are this garden. He delights in us. And yet we need something more. And that, of course, is what we'll be looking at this evening, if the Lord will. And we're preserved and he doesn't return in glory this day. This garden is exclusive. There are those who cannot get in. Maybe some want to come in. The world is outside, and there is this beautiful place where the Lord wants to come and be with us. Now you might say, well, how is it that the Lord Jesus Christ can delight in his people? We're sinful. We know that. We wouldn't be Christians if we didn't know that we were sinners. That is part of the gospel, isn't it? The gospel is not just good news, it's bad news. And then the good news comes in to show us the remedy, which is much more. Though man sinned, much more the grace of God came in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to do his great and wonderful work. We see what it says here. It says, a garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. You notice that the authorised translators have put in the second my there. I'm not criticising them. My sister, my spouse. If you want to separate those two terms, you have to do that to make it make sense. That's why they've put that in italics, to show they added it. But it could be like this, my sister spouse or my sister bride. I'm not saying we should rub it out and put that in. I'm just saying to help us understand what is said here. A garden enclosed is my sister spouse, my sister bride. And that, of course, is a very strange way of talking. A sister and a bride, they're two different things. You don't marry your sister. That's not right. It's precluded. It's wrong. We don't marry in the family. Somebody comes from outside the family, we marry them. So why is it put in this way? Well, it's giving here, when you have a sister, that's a chaste relationship. And then, of course, the bride is an intimate relationship. So it's giving the two sides in a very beautiful and wonderful way. My sister spouse, chaste and intimate. And that, of course, gives us a picture of the relationship we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is something we need to work on, friends, that it is both chaste, we are reverent, like the wife is to reverence the husband, much more as believers we reverence the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is God, God incarnate, God come in the flesh, God done his great work, the Son of God on the cross, dying, rising, ascending, now reigning, due to come some time soon. We reverence him. And yet there's also this intimate side. And that's really why I've chosen this passage this morning, to try and bring this out, because I think we need that this day. We need to realize the Lord Jesus Christ has done everything for us, to open the way for us, to give us this freedom and intimacy and access to him. Chaste, reverence, realizing that he is the Lord, and yet he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I am with thee, even unto the end of the world. All power is given unto me. We have this relationship with him. We can depend on him. We look to him. We love him. A chaste and yet intimate relationship. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Again, giving us a picture of this, that there is something about the church. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who, in effect, gives us our power. He accesses our gifts. Our gifts are made perfect in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. when he says all things, he doesn't mean bad things, of course. He means all good things, all things God wants me to do, though I find I can't do because of the weakness of the flesh, yet I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How can a man get in a pulpit like this and preach the word? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Listen to Psalm 1. You know how he talks about delighting in the law of the Lord and in his law does he meditate day and night. Well, we thought a little bit about that, about the importance of the word of God, which is what works on our minds, goes into our hearts and then expresses itself in our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. What is this man? What is this believer? What is every Christian in the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen to this. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That is the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. What an amazing statement. How invigorating. And then the very next verse, the ungodly are not so. All those things he's described are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. So the Lord Jesus Christ dwells with his people and he activates his people. He works by his spirit. And we have, of course, those spiritual gifts in Galatians chapter 5, where he says this: the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Nothing can be said against them. Everybody knows they're good things. Where do you find them? In the believer, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because of his operation, by his spirit, by his power. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits. Camphire with spikenard and saffron. Calamus and cinnamon with all trees of frankincense. Myrrh and aloes with all the chief spices. You can imagine such a king delighting in this garden and wanting to show all the nobles from other countries, all the important visitors, come and see my garden. Look at this garden I've created. And in a sense, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying that to us here. He's declaring what his people are like in him. A fountain of gardens. A fountain of gardens. In other words, it's one that produces something. Other gardens are seeded from this garden. It's a wonder of the world, this garden. And of course, the Church of Jesus Christ is indeed a wonder to the world. It talks about these living waters, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters and streams from Lebanon, taking the best from the world, sanctifying it, using it. That's the believer. Many of us are engaged in daily work and we represent the Lord Jesus Christ in those places and we seek to manifest his presence, his spirit, the fruits of the spirit in that place of work, that place of occupation, whether it's the home, most importantly, or whether it's a place of work, wherever that might be. You remember when the Lord Jesus Christ met with that Samaritan woman. And Jesus said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. She didn't recognize him, she didn't know who it was, so she didn't ask that question. But if she had done, she would have asked, because she would have known that water was the real and true water, not one you've got to go with your bucket again and draw and draw and draw, but the living waters welling up into everlasting life. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water, pointing to the well, shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Is that how you feel today? But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Life in the Lord Jesus Christ, spiritual life, true life, the life that no one can take from us. Somebody can take our life in this world. They can't take the Lord Jesus Christ from us. They can't take the life that he gives to us. It is everlasting life. We've had mention already of that illustration the Lord Jesus Christ used, the broad road which leads to destruction. Many there be that go in thereat. Where does it go? Destruction. And there's one small path with a gate. And you have to pass through. And that is a difficult way. Maybe like a pathway up a hillside with rocks. And you stumble. You take two steps forward and one step back. But does that matter? You'd rather be on the broad road. Of course, the world wants to be on the broad road. Easy. But down it goes. And yet that little path leads up to everlasting life. Streams of living water. We find them in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see them in his people in this wonderful picture of a garden. That is how he compares his people to a beautiful garden that he delights in and he wants to enjoy, and he wants to make his presence felt in that garden. You remember right at the end of the scriptures, we have that wonderful vision, that view that John saw. He saw a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was put onto his knees. He was comforted, and he saw things that were amazing, and he wrote them down, a special revelation to the Apostle John. The church age, how things are panning out. The Lord is in control. He's working his plans and purposes out. He's showing him. And what does he see? He sees this, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Another picture. A New Testament picture. We are looking at an Old Testament picture. We're just connecting the two there. Showing, you see, it's all about this spiritual life which comes from God himself in and through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, by his Spirit. So how can I summarize? Well, we could summarize like this. We only find real fulfillment and real freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm sure you might delight to say that to one of your neighbours over the fence and say, do you know, friend, you only find real fulfillment and freedom and in the Lord Jesus Christ? He won't know what you're talking about. And yet we know it's true because the scriptures have told us, and we've also know this from our own experience if we are the Lord's. This is a wonderful, beautiful picture of our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest thing in life is to know the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember those two on the road to Emmaus as the Lord Jesus Christ started to open the scriptures to them and started to reveal himself to them? He said, O fools and slow of heart, who believed all these things. It's here for us in the Word of God. Have you ever read right through Jeremiah? I don't know many people who read right through Jeremiah. I don't think I've even read right through Jeremiah. Not in one go. But once I was... you can get this like a tape or a CD of Alexander Scourby reading this version. And you have it on in your car. And so it's a bit like reading it. So you're going on all through chapter by chapter by chapter. And when you do that, suddenly... things start to come to your mind and you start to notice things. And one thing I once remember, very vividly remembering, was this. That you come to a point in Jeremiah where it says, and he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. What's that talking about? Well, of course, it is the fact that his people have a way of access to the Heavenly Father because of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. Clothed in that righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, I can come before God. God is my heavenly Father. I can pray to him. He sees me as pure and perfect in the Lord Jesus Christ, like this chaste virgin we find in the Song of Solomon that Solomon delights in. The Lord Jesus Christ delighting in his people. Why? Because of his own righteousness. He shall be called the Lord our righteousness. And then as you read through Jeremiah, a bit further on, you come to a passage and it says this, and she shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Of course, the she is the church of Jesus Christ. You and me, my friends, believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how the Apostle Paul asks us to pray. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He's giving us a prescription for prayer there. We start with praise and we come in an attitude of supplication. We come with thanksgiving to God and then we come with our requests to him. But then the next verse is the one I'd like to draw your attention to particularly, and that is this. And the peace of God. So in other words, be careful for nothing. Pray in this way, and what? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The devil will try to attack. He will try to get you down. He'll try to depress you. He'll use your friends, maybe unbelieving friends, maybe even Christians sometimes, to attack you. He'll try everything. But you know, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You are in him. You are shut up to him. And no one can take you out of his hands. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits. Campfire with spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices. I think that this is not an exhaustive list of all the delightful plants in this wonderful garden. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. The Lord Jesus Christ delights in his people. He delights in his garden because of what he's done for them. We are in Christ. We are in the garden. It's like he's saying to us, see my love, know my love, feel my love, enjoy my love. Come away from the world, join with me, and we can be together forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together. Most gracious, glorious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this wonderful book of the Bible, the Song of Solomon. We thank thee for the beauty of it. We thank thee for the delight that the Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son, takes in his people, a garden enclosed. Oh Lord, may he make his presence felt amongst us. May we enjoy those fruits of the Spirit. May we live for him, delight in him, rejoice in him, now and forevermore. Amen.